In a world where ancient prophecies shape destinies, Ophelia Hart stands at the crossroads of salvation and destruction. An extraordinary young woman with elemental powers, she is the subject of a prophecy that speaks of a child born of fire and blood who will determine the fate of all magical beings. The prophecy states that whoever first drinks from this untouched vessel will influence whether she brings poison or nectar to the world. When we meet Ophelia, she's devastated by the apparent death of her lover Alexandros, head of House Drakos and leader of the Ruby Dragons. His brother Georgios claims their other brother Lucian beheaded Alexandros, insisting they must flee to his Tibetan fortress for protection. But something doesn't feel right. Despite feeling their bond severed, Ophelia can't accept that Alexandros is truly gone. Nevertheless, she agrees to relocate with her three other vampire lovers, Xavier, Malachi, and Axel, to what Georgios promises is an impenetrable sanctuary. What none of them realize is that this journey marks the beginning of an elaborate deception that will test not just their love, but the very fabric of their supernatural world. Warning signs emerge at Georgios' Tibetan fortress, a former monastery on hallowed ground, weakening Ophelia's powers. Xavier, Malachi, and Axel fall ill, fearing decline without their sire Alexandros. After consulting a Greek seer, Georgios proposes his solution. Ophelia must bond with him to transfer the sire bond and save them. "I'm offering myself as the only rational choice," he claims. "My father or brother Lucian would force a bond with you for darker purposes." The group refuses. Ophelia contacts Netherworld dragons who reveal Alexandros lives. They discover blue poppies poisoning the vampires through Ophelia's blood. Worse, Georgios plans to sever Ophelia's mate bonds by impregnating her during ovulation. When confronted, Georgios admits lying about Alexandros' death as a favor to Nazeel Danrath, a witch who once saved his life, but his deception runs deeper. When all seems lost, Ophelia makes a breakthrough, telepathically contacting dragons in the Netherworld. Despite being on hallowed ground that weakens her elemental magic, her vampire abilities allow her to communicate with ancient dragons Anakitos and Elpis, who confirm Alexandros still lives. The power dynamic shifts when Anakitos, an enormous black dragon with silver horns and green eyes, appears at the fortress gates. As Georgios orders everyone inside, the magnificent creature demonstrates his power by turning a tree to ash with one breath. "I can communicate with dragons," Ophelia announces to everyone's shock. "Anakitos has come to help us escape and find Alexandros." These dragons represent a connection to primal magic beyond vampire and witch politics. During their journey to Peru, Anakitos gifts Ophelia with dragonfire, a golden green flame harmless to her, but lethal to vampires and demons. Flying on a dragon toward the ancient Peruvian silver mines, once the birthplace of dragons, now Alexandros' prison, Ophelia feels the weight of tremendous responsibility. Guided by Anakitos, Ophelia reaches Muratafyar Arondagar, the birthplace of dragons. Inside, Lucian, Alexandros' estranged son, challenges her to access her elemental powers to free his father. "What's the most powerful force in the world?" he asks. "Love," she answers instinctively, stunning him momentarily. Following his redirection to water as the most powerful element, she channels her inner light and breaks Alexandros' cage with a powerful blast. Their reunion in Venezuela is passionate and primal, brutal and necessary. Despite craving her blood, Alexandros restrains himself, knowing Georgios remains a threat. "Ophelia, you are everything," he declares between kisses. When Xavier, Malachi, and Axel arrive, Alexandros embraces them emotionally. "I missed you boys, all of you." the significance extends beyond their physical reconnection. Their unconventional family has survived its first major test, proving their bond stronger than Georgios' deception. Throughout the narrative, Lucian appears as the villain who murdered his family 500 years ago, but his appearance at the beach house reveals a more complex truth. Alexandros is stunned by Lucian's unchanged appearance, identical to his own. During their confrontation, Lucian admits to meeting Ophelia multiple times over 19 years and being at Montridge during the Wolf Girl's murder, though he denies controlling the responsible vampires. When confronted about his family's murder, Lucian breaks down, confirming but clearly tormented by the act. He explains that 19 years ago, the Scatati, a dark organization of vampires and warlocks, detected powerful fire magic from an unborn Ophelia, a descendant of Ophelia. "I would have killed her myself," Lucian admits, "to prevent the Scatati from manipulating her power." Significantly, Lucian tasted 5-year-old Ophelia's blood, making him the first to drink from the untouched vessel in prophecy. We discover that Georgios manipulated young Lucian into killing his family, promising him leadership of House Drakos. For centuries, Lucian lived with this guilt while secretly opposing Georgios and the Scatati. The final battle erupts at Montrich, where Georgios has gathered Scatati vampires, demons, and warlocks. While Alexandros rescues the boys, Ophelia fights alongside Cadence, Enora, and the dragons. Just as they begin to repel Georgios' forces, thousands of undead shadow figures emerge through a tear between worlds. Their only hope is closing this breach by returning the Wraith to the Netherworld. Confronting Georgios, Alexandros learns his brother's betrayal stemmed from jealousy over Elena. "You took everything from me," Georgios snarls, "so I took everything from you." Alexandros kills his brother, tearing his head from his shoulders. As the Wraith's power grows, Cadence is killed by a warlock while trying to reach Ophelia. Grief-stricken, Ophelia heads alone to the river to close the tear. The final confrontation requires Ophelia to sacrifice her light, the source of her elemental powers. She makes this choice willingly to save those she loves and the world itself. Have you ever wondered what you would sacrifice for those you love? Ophelia's choice reminds us that sometimes the greatest power lies in what we're willing to give up. 3.5 years later, Ophelia celebrates her social work degree while pregnant with Alexandros' daughter, named Cadence Enora, after the women who sacrificed themselves in battle. Montridge University now thrives with magical students, including witches, wolf packs, and demons. The prophecy was fulfilled through Ophelia's love rather than destruction. Ophelia and her 4 mates live harmoniously in their remodeled home with a custom bed for all 5. Their relationship openly acknowledged across campus. Ophelia still harbors 3 secrets. Rain accompanies her sadness, she heals mates' bites without saliva, and occasionally summons dragonfire, suggesting some elemental nature remains. Bound in Blood explores finding strength in vulnerability and power in sacrifice, challenging conventional notions of family and prophecy. Through Ophelia's journey from being overwhelmed by her abilities to surrendering them, we learn our value stems from our choices and relationships, not capabilities or predetermined destinies. In a world fixated on power, isn't there something revolutionary about finding true strength in what we surrender for love?